From St. Mary's University of Minnesota, you're listening to St. Mary's Currents. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. Like many of her colleagues at St. Mary's University, Dr. Mallory Knipp has presented research at multiple academic conferences during her career in higher education. However, Dr. Knipp, chair of the social work programs here at St. Mary's, is likely the first from the university to present her research at a Star Trek convention. Throughout the pandemic, Knipp conducted research that looked at the interactions of people participating in the digital community SIDS City Social Club. The online community was created by Star Trek Deep Space Nine actor Alexander Siddig to help support fans who are experiencing isolation during the COVID-19 pandemic. Mallory joins me today to discuss her recent mission of going boldly where no social work researcher has gone before. Hey, Mallory. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today to discuss your recent research. Before we get into that, would you please introduce yourself by telling our listeners what you do here at St. Mary's and what your academic interests are?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. So here at St. Mary's, I am the Master of Social Work Program Director here at the Minneapolis campus and also the Chair of Social Work Programming. And I've been with the university since May of 2020. And before that, I was also a social work professor at North Central University in Minneapolis, as well as the University of Wisconsin for Madison and Eau Claire. So working between the master and graduate level at those programs. In my background and my research interests, so as a practitioner, I started with child protective services and did that for a while. And then I went into the realm of school social work. And when I came into the academy, started teaching, got my doctorate degree, my research focused on critical consciousness development in social work students.
Very nice. So as I mentioned in our introduction, your research focused on interactions of Star Trek fans in the online community SID City Social Club. Are you yourself a Star Trek fan? And is that how you discovered this online community? Or how exactly did you get involved in that?
That's a good question. So like I just said, my research interests through my doctorate program were completely different. I was doing critical consciousness research, which isn't really, pretty separate from the whole fandom world. But how I got involved with SID City was, so my dad had actually passed away last year in September, and he was a huge Star Trek fan. And so, and I enjoy the show, and I've watched it kind of on and off over the years and on Netflix now. But my dad was really into it. And when I was younger and I used to stay with him during the summers, that was our thing, was we would stay up late and watch Star Trek at 9:00 p.m. on, whatever channel it was every night. And so when he passed away, I went on Netflix and I started rewatching some of the episodes, just kind of out of nostalgia's sake, for that connection to my dad. And one night, as I was watching, I was just Googling what some of the Star Trek actors were up to and what they've been doing recently. And that's how I stumbled across SID City and found this amazing community that Alexander Siddig had started.
Very nice. And he kind of specifically started this community during COVID-19, correct? Kind of to provide as an outlet for fans?
Yeah, so it started in April of 2020, and it was really, so when I interviewed him, he talked about how he was really inspired by some of the musicians coming out of Milan, Italy, who were, singing on their balconies and just to do something for the community and to entertain the people that were in quarantine. And so he had emailed his co-producer of SID City, Mel Lowry, and said, what can we be doing? Is there something we can do for the fans to reach them, to give them something to do, during this time of uncertainty and quarantine? And this is what they came up with. So yes, the fan community obviously existed, but the SID City Social Club, where they were meeting online twice a week, that was definitely, it started because of COVID.
Okay, very nice. And during those meetings, they just kind of had a chance to interact with him? And
yeah. So in the very beginning, I think he tried to have it like a little bit more entertainment focused, but it quickly morphed into a thing of its own. And what it really turned into was twice a week for 2 hours, they would open up a Zoom room, they would post a link to his fan site 5 minutes before the meeting was supposed to start. And fans could actually sign up for the opportunity to talk to him. So it was kind of like a reverse interview, where instead of him being asked a bunch of questions, whoever he was talking with, he would ask them about their life. Like, what do you do for a living? How are you doing? How's your family doing during COVID? How's it going in your part of the country or your part of the world? Because we have people from all over the world that were a part of this group. And so he would ask his fans questions to get to know them. And so that's, I think, how it helped really grow and blossom as a community, because it wasn't just one of my research subjects. It wasn't the All Hail Sid Brigade. Like, it was a fan club, but it wasn't really all about Sid. It was really about the fans and getting to know them as people in their lives and what was going on.
Absolutely. And didn't you say kind of in a previous conversation, didn't you say it even kind of branched beyond that with trivia on certain nights and just kind of social media groups outside of that where people were able to interact?
Yes. So it started, again, as just these Zoom meetings twice a week. And then it quickly picked up on the social media platform Discord, where there was, so people were constantly staying in touch, you know, 24/7 through Discord, through different threads and things. And then, so one of Sid's best friends, Colin Kerrigan, is a game show creator. And so he started doing weekend, he called them pub quizzes. So he's British. And so he'd have these pub quizzes on Saturdays and Sundays where people from Sid City could just come and basically do trivia. And what he would do would he would leave the meeting room open after the trivia was done so that people could stay and chat for as long as they wanted. And it quickly became a thing, like almost a competition, like how long can we keep this Zoom going? And there were a few times where it literally went an entire 24 hours where, because we're talking about people from all around the world, when one time zone was going to bed, another time zone was getting up and they would hop in the Zoom room. And it was just like this giant, you know, kind of interactive chat room where people were video chatting, getting to know each other. And so that really helped build that community as well, kind of outside just the regular Sid City chats. And it even got to the point where, so some of the fans that participate in City, they call themselves Sidsters. And so it got to the point where some of the Sidsters kind of started doing these offshoot special talks, kind of like TED Talks, but they called them SID Talks, short for Special Interest Discussions. So because they, you know, the community recognized pretty quickly that it was so diverse. And, you know, another one of my participants talked about how sometimes, you know, Trekkies especially are kind of stereotyped as being, you know, these nerdy, geeky people that live at home and just sit in the basement and watch Star Trek all day, you know. And she's like, it's so not true. She's like, when you see the people in this community, there's so many different identities and careers and interests represented. And so they started doing these SID discussions on anything from beekeeping to how trauma impacts the body to religion and Star Trek, like anything that you could think of that someone was interested in, they could, you know, contact the person that, you know, was kind of appointed to be in charge of the SID talks and say, hey, no, this coming Saturday, would it be okay if I did a SID talk on this? And so that was just another connecting point that was a part of the group, but not, you know, the biweekly Zoom meeting. And so because there were all these offshoots, it really presented a great opportunity just for the community to continue to grow together and get to know each other as people and not just like a name on a screen.
Right. That sounds amazing. That's wonderful. So after you found the online community and had a chance to kind of engage with it, what made you want to focus your research on that?
Good question. Because like I said, you know, fandom is not my wheelhouse. You know, my wheelhouse is critical consciousness development, social work, education. But I think what intrigued me was one of the first meetings that I attended. So Sid has a friend who is a psychology professor in New York, and she does do fandom research. And in fact, you know, a couple decades ago, she did, you know, her dissertation research on fandom, and Sid was actually one of the main people that she interviewed and was part of her dissertation research. And it was like the first or second time that I attended Sid City, she actually came on and was one of the people that was chatting with him and was talking about her research. And at that time, I had just finished up my dissertation research. I had, you know, I had done everything. I had submitted everything for publication, and I was kind of looking for something new anyway, thinking that that something new was still going to be along the lines of social work education and what I was doing. But Gail Stever is this woman's name, Dr. Stever. And she, you know, as she was talking about her research, I kept waiting for her to say, and this is the study that I'm doing on Sid City. And she never did. And I was like, how is, you know, someone has to study this. Like, this is a once in a lifetime thing. And so I actually connected with Dr. Stever on LinkedIn, looked at some of her stuff, and I just reached out to her and I said, hey, are you doing a research study on Sid City? I kept waiting for you to talk about it. And she said, no, I'm actually currently on sabbatical. I'm working on writing a textbook. She said, but you should. And I said, okay. So she told me kind of how to get in touch with Sid's co-producer, who basically runs the Sid City platform. And so I did. So I reached out and I just said, you know, I've talked with Dr. Seaver, you know, kind of bounced some ideas about what a research study could look like. Would you and Sid be interested in this? And she immediately replied and said, you know, we've actually been doing a really good job of cataloging and documenting all of our meetings and everything, hoping that someone would be able to do something with this archive of data that we have. So it's, yes, that would be great. And so, yeah, so I went to the Institutional Review Board at St. Mary's and got permission to do the research, as you need to do anytime you do human subject research. You have to go through the whole process and special permissions. And so I did that through St. Mary's, got approved, got Sid and Mel on board, and was able to kind of start that process of interviewing people.
We'll be right back in a minute.
Separate yourself from the rest and take your career to the next level with an online degree from St. Mary's University of Minnesota. Nationally ranked and fully accredited, our programs are student-centered with faculty that infuse practical career experience into their teaching and engage in their disciplines. Set your own schedule with our flexible online platform and access your coursework anywhere with our selection of affordable online degree programs. Promising career opportunities will follow. Explore what's next at St. Mary's University of Minnesota.
Excuse me, do you have authorization to work in this area?
Come in, come in. I need a hand with this field generator.
I am sorry, but use of sick bay equipment is limited to ship's medical personnel.
Ah, Dr. Julian Bashir, Chief Medical Officer, Deep Space Nine. And you are Commander...
Data.
Commander Data. The synthetic life form.
Yes. What type of device is this?
Well, I'm hoping it's a medical scanner. I wanted to use your computer to find out how it works.
I suggest we take it to engineering and run a complete circuit pathway diagnostic.
Splendid.
So once you realized this was something that you were going to focus your research time on, how did you go about conducting the research and what were your findings?
So anytime you're doing a research study, you kind of have to figure out who's going to be your target population. Like, what is this? What's your study actually going to look like? So I decided to kind of go big. And when I say go big, because I was the solo researcher on this project because Dr. Stever wasn't able to help. So doing solo research takes a lot of time. So I decided to go big and try to go for 25 participants, which for qualitative work is a lot when you're doing it by yourself. And then I had to try to figure out, you know, do I want to go global? Because there are a lot of countries represented in Sid City Social Club. And so I had to figure out, you know, do I want to do global? Do I just want to focus on the U.S.? And in the end, I did decide to try to get a global representative population. And so out of the 25 people that I had as a part of my study, they represent 7 different countries. So the U.S., the United Kingdom, New Zealand, Australia, Czech Republic, Germany, and Canada.
So what did you find?
So there are kind of 3 main findings. The first was just how much of a source of psychological support this community was for each of the participants. It provided them stability during time of change. So, you know, even though the pandemic was in full force, a lot of people still had changes happening where, you know, they were losing their job or getting a different job or moving across the country, and supports that they would normally have during non-COVID times had kind of dissipated. Like, they weren't able to see family or friends. And when they moved to a new community or started a new job, and myself included, because I started at St. Mary's at the beginning of the pandemic, and I didn't even meet the person I shared an office with until, you know, over a year later. It really provided a source of psychological support for people who were going through change and didn't have the normal supports that they would normally have. So they moved across the country and they couldn't build a new community because you weren't supposed to go out and see people. But this was a community that they could bring with them and continue to support them. And same with a lot of the different, you know, we had people that went through some pretty extreme health issues and again, didn't have some of their typical social supports, and they had the support of the Sid City community with them. All of them talked about how encouraging of a community that this was and how that was kind of unique to maybe some of the other virtual communities they've been a part of, where you just don't get as deep of the type of connections as they found with Sid City. Because again, a lot of times it's you know, text-based instead of actual video-based and talking face-to-face, or there's not as many platforms where you're connecting through Zoom and Discord and Trivia and, you know, all of these opportunities that Sid City provided. So source of psychological support was a huge finding that came out. Also, the unique environment of community. So I talked about how a lot of people just emphasize the incredible diversity in the community, and not just, you know, diversity of identities, but diversity of interests and ideas, and how, you know, in a lot of spaces, sometimes that leads to conflict. But in this community, a lot of people talked about how, you know, of all the virtual communities I've been a part of, there's no trolls here. Like, there's no drama here. It's like, it's so unique in that way that it's just, it's become a really tight knit community. And the people have been so supportive, and people talk about how I've learned so much from all of the different people with all these different interests in this community. And they really emphasized what we came to call post-quiz chats, or basically how the Zoom room stayed open after the trivia and how people stayed on for hours and hours just chatting and getting to know each other and talking about their life, and talking about anything from why is orange juice orange to, you know, when I was 15 years old, I was suicidal, and everything in between. So those post-quiz chats were really huge for helping people build community. And then just obviously the COVID aspect, the COVID support. So fandom communities are known for tending to cater to those who are introverts. And certainly, like I said, we have a diversity of identity in Sid City Social Club all across the map. But a lot of the people that are part of the community consider themselves introverted. You know, they might not have a large social circle, or at least a large social, you know, physical circle, or they may be naturally isolated even before COVID because of having some sort of significant mental or physical disability that, you know, keeps them from socializing. And so having this group that provided a strong sense of socialization during isolation, when people weren't seeing their family and friends. You know, over half of the people that I interviewed lived by themselves. Many of them had pretty significant health issues, so were considered high risk for contracting COVID, especially before the vaccinations. You know, they were really scared because they were high risk individuals. And a lot of them said, you know, this group is the one thing that I had, you know, during quarantine, because I lost all my other ways of socializing with people. And another piece of that was they talked about how it provided a stable routine. So we know, you know, even at St. Mary's, you know, when everything shut down, it was like, okay, we're working from home now. We don't really know when we're going back or ever actually going to see people again. Many of us had kids that were at home with us, so we were trying to work while our kids were at home all day because, you know, schools were closed. And it was a lot of chaos. And, you know, people were like, what year is it? Like, what month is it? What is happening? But a lot of people said Sid City was sometimes the only constant they had when everything was up in the air. They knew that every Tuesday and every Friday, there was going to be a 2-hour meeting where they could go and they could be with their friends. And every Saturday and every Sunday, there were going to be trivia options where they knew the exact time that they could go. They knew who was going to be there. And it just provided some sort of routine for them when life just seems so incredibly uncertain.
Absolutely.
So those were the findings that were really related to, again, that phenomenon of virtual community during the pandemic. I did have some kind of additional fandom specific findings that I wasn't really looking for, because I didn't create this to be a fandom study. I created it to be a case study of a virtual group that happened to be a fandom. But I did notice, you know, when I was analyzing the data, that there were a lot of fandom specific findings that came out. So again, even for a fandom space, this is a really unique one, mainly because it's unique, number one, because of how much Sid participated. I mean, he was, you know, 4 hours a week for a celebrity to dedicate face-to-face to his fans is just pretty much unheard of, and how much individual time he was spending with people. So that was unique. But then on the flip side, this community wasn't all about Sid, whereas most fandoms, like, that's why you're in the fandom, so you can learn about the celebrity, talk to the celebrity. And this one wasn't. It really became more about the fans. And that's what Sid wanted. And so it was really neat how it just became, as even as a fandom, so unique in that way. You know, I talked about the uniqueness of the community environment. I told you about all of the additional offshoots, you know, the trivia, the Discord, the special Sid meetings, all of that. And then the fact that it's a space that was available to everyone, because I did, again, have multiple participants who either had profound physical or mental health disabilities that said, this is the first time I've been able to really connect face-to-face with other fans, because I can't go to conventions because I'm homebound, or I can't go to conventions because I have social anxiety, or I can't go to conventions because they're expensive and I could never afford it. And so for a lot of people, this is the first time that they've been able to connect with a fandom on this level, because they have, you know, different barriers in their life that have prevented them from doing that.
Absolutely. So kind of after you wrapped up your research, you had the opportunity to present the findings at Destination Star Trek in London. Just what was that experience like? Being able to interact with, I understand, some actors from Star Trek Deep Space Nine, as well as some of the people who are part of the community. So what was that whole experience like, being able to present there?
Yeah, it was so neat and kind of surreal, because, and this kind of goes back to how I got started with this community, because like I said, it was basically because of my dad. You know, my dad got me into Star Trek when I was little, and then with his passing, that's essentially what led to me finding the Sid City Social Club. And so I had been to one Star Trek convention in my life, and it was when I was much, much younger, like to the point where I don't even remember a lot about it. I was probably in elementary school, and my dad brought me, and he was so excited to be able to bring me in to participate in that. And so this was my second one, you know? And so it kind of felt like, oh, like my dad would think this is the coolest thing ever. But how it started was, there was an idea proposed to do a panel, like a panel discussion about exactly this, how Sid City came about, how it helped people. It ended up being narrowed down to the participants, or, you know, I was involved because to talk about my research study and what the research showed. There was another core member of the Sid City Social Club, Rob Moriarty, who participated, and he kind of had the connection to Destination Star Trek London. So he was instrumental in getting this going. Sid was not able to attend in person because he was off in another country filming, but he had pre-recorded some stuff along with Mel, his co-producer. And then the two actors, Nana Visitor, who plays Major Kira, and then Andy Robinson, who plays Garrick in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, they were both there. So it was the four of us up on stage, and then Colin Kerrigan, who is Sid's friend who created the trivias for us, he was the one that actually hosted it then. So it worked out really great, and it was an awesome opportunity. And the reason that Andy and Nana were there was because one thing I didn't mention was they actually started kind of a Zoom-oriented offshoot, or like post-Star Trek DS9 kind of show on YouTube. And you can actually go on YouTube and Google Alone Together, a DS9 companion. So Sid's wife has a friend who is a writer. And so he basically wrote like a fanfic play, and they brought back together a ton of the cast of Deep Space Nine, and they did it through Zoom during COVID. Oh, wow. And so Andy and Nana were two of the actors that came back and performed in Alone Together with Sid and some of the other actors. And so that's why they came on, because they had participated in Sid City Social Club as well, both as actors in Alone Together in the plays that they did. And then they, you know, whenever they came on days to do the plays, they would hang out and they would interact with fans and ask fans things, and fans would ask them things or chat with them. So they were kind of an instrumental part of that community as well.
Absolutely. So to round out this episode, we want to add a little fun bit here at the end. So we're curious, do you have a favorite Star Trek character or episode, and why?
So as far as a character, Counselor Deanna Troi is the ship's counselor for Next Generation. And I related to her for a lot of reasons. I've been told that I look like her, or at least more like her than any other character. And I knew from a young age that I wanted to go into the helping profession. But at the same time, I think that I was kind of indoctrinated, especially women as helpers were kind of like the meek, you know, super gentle, caring, like that's what being a female helper or in the helping profession looked like. And Deanna Troi in Star Trek, like she's the ship's counselor. She's the empath. Like that's what she does. But she's also a rock star. Like she can get stuff done. Like she can take over when need be. She's a strong character. And I think I related to her because I knew I wanted to do something similar to her. But I also knew that I wasn't like the stereotypical, or at least what I thought, you know, like a good female helper was supposed to be. She helped kind of break those boundaries. I think a lot of the women in Star Trek help break the boundaries or the stereotypes of, you know, of, you know, what being feminine was or should be or whatever, and how you can be feminine, but you can still be powerful and you can still make a huge difference.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. Well, Mallory, thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun learning about your research. And I just think it's so fascinating, especially kind of with the pandemic angle and needing social outlets like that. So thank you so much for your time and thank you for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
St. Mary's Currents is a production of the St. Mary's University of Minnesota Office of Marketing and Communication. It is produced by Ben Rogers and Deb Nergang. It is recorded, edited, and engineered by Jeffrey DeMarsh. Our theme music is written by Will Van de Kramert. I'm Ben Rogers. We'll see you next time for St. Mary's Currents.